Hey guys, welcome back to Refuge Podcast. I'm your host, John Lanier, and on season 6, we've been going through 2 Peter. We're in chapter 2. We're going to be picking up in verse 4, continuing to look at God's dealings with the false prophets, false teachers that Peter explains about. And then we're going to look at the section that talks about God's judgment on how God deals with false teachers, and the fact that there will be justice. They will not be allowed to get away with what they do to God's people on the earth. And so we're going to look at that. I want to thank you for coming along for the journey. Thank you for supporting the channel, the podcast. And so I'm going to read the first couple of verses. We're probably going to be dipping into Jude a little bit, talking about Genesis 6 and the second rebellion recorded in the book of Genesis. The first one, we have Adam and Eve, the serpent, that whole story about them sinning, and sin introduced into the world through that rebellion against God's command to not eat of the tree. But this one we'll look at today is based on the sons of God intermarrying with the daughters of men. And that story is found in Genesis 6, if you want to do that. I'm not going to go back to that as far as reading it. I know we've read it before on the podcast, and it's a very familiar passage to many people. But if you're not familiar with it, go ahead and read it. It's really helpful to understand what was going on in the world at that time, during which God flooded the earth, because it's common in Jewish literature, especially, for them to connect the rebellion of that time with what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah, and how the Jews would rebel against God, and how all of these things intermix, and there's a lot of similarities between them. So and of course the flood and everything that happened there. And that's what Peter does here. Jude does it, and we'll look at Jude. I'll be also referencing Michael Heiser does a called the Naked Bible podcast. He's got some references, I think, that are helpful to understand what's going on in this particular passage in 2 Peter. So I'm going to read the first verse. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And let's go to verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And before we go into what he's going to talk about with Lot, I want to read so we get a little bit more flavor, because Peter and Jude have some overlap in what they teach. In Jude, let's go to verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. They left their place of what God had assigned for them. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So we go back to verse 4 of 2 Peter. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to the New King James I'm reading says hell. It's the Greek word is literally Tartarus. And that was a holding place that they were delivered into, chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And so God, you can read other I know the Book of Enoch talks about the watchers and the rebellion against God and introducing sexual immorality and false teaching and things of that nature into the world. And so we have this rebellion, and what Peter is doing is using it as an example, just like Jude did, of the way that God deals with people who lead people astray away from God and give false information and live in this sexually immoral way, that he reserves in judgment, that God doesn't overlook it, that there will be a price to be paid for, you know, coming against the truth of who Yahweh is and leading people away from that. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then, this is Peter's point, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of judgment. So there is a final judgment in God's plan for dealing with, false teaching, false prophets, that he also knows how to, in dealing justly with that, also to deliver the godly out of those situations. And Peter's doing this to encourage the believers that, you know, God sees you. He understands what you're going through. Though the world may be in chaos, and this is so relevant for any generation, not just Peter's generation, our generation, every generation, that there may be difficulties and challenges and false teaching and people given over to sexual promiscuity and sexual immorality that claim the name of God. And it's important that we distinguish between right and wrong and live in the sight of the Lord and live holy and blameless before him, and continually confessing our need for God and in the midst of wickedness and perversity, to keep giving ourselves over to the Lord. And so this is God's plan, that there will be judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. So it gives a little bit more understanding of that they will despise. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So he gives just a final warning that these people speak evil of dignitaries. They despise authority. They are self-willed, godless people. Do not follow them. Don't go after them. Stick close to the God of the universe, the one who displayed what love and grace and mercy looks like, the one who lived humbly and calls us to die to ourselves, to live humbly before him, to not live as the Gentiles walk according to the lust of their flesh, but to live in the Spirit, to live according to just laying our lives down daily for him. And so Peter's encouragement is, don't be presumptuous, self-willed like they are. They're willing to despise, to reject authority, to come against all that is good and right. And he gives all these Old Testament examples of God dealt with this. This is not something that he will allow to go on forever. But you stay the course. Be on guard, in a way that's loving and gentle and willing to discern, to know what's right and wrong, and God will be with you in all of that.